And welcome back to the Odd Man Rush, our NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com. This is Greg Sanluka, and I'm joined by Aaron Brown. Aaron, how are you?
Hello, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Want to apologize for our brief hiatus, but we are back and ready to go. And so let's not waste any more time and get right to the content. And first story we want to talk about is the Calgary Flames off to a fantastic start so far this year, and they are sitting atop the Northwest Division in the Western Conference, 37 points, 17-6-3 record. The big question here, Aaron, is has anybody really taken notice of the fact that Calgary is off to this great start? I mean, I'm sure from an NHL perspective, the teams are in the Western Conference are very much aware, and if you happen to be an Eastern Conference team that has Calgary coming up on the schedule, you may be aware that that they are performing well. But really, outside of that scope, how many people are really aware of what's going on up in Western Canada?
I think that they're flying under the radar, in part because Colorado's off to the start they are. And right. Granted, now Calgary has jumped Colorado in the standings, and I believe the last meeting they have, I want to say Colorado won that. It may be because, let's face it, Calgary is in Calgary in northwestern Canada.
Right.
I know everyone talks about the East Coast bias, so they probably just don't get the attention that they should. And part of it makes me wonder if it's just Calgary's always a good team. Calgary's always a solid team. I think there are always high expectations for them to do well. Maybe I know there's been some chatter the past couple of years is that they've underperformed. They had, haven't won the division or, with Vancouver being strong. But is it really any surprise that Mika Kiprusoff's having an outstanding season? He always has an outstanding season. Is it any surprise that Jerome Iginla is having a great season as well?
No, right.
It's really not. And it's funny because some of the things I have read are kind of more of the, Olli Jokinen's not doing well sort of, focus on Calgary. Oh, no, he's off
right.
to a bad start or whatever.
Right.
So, and you haven't heard much about the defense. That defense, you haven't heard just so much focus on it. I don't know how they get lost in the mix, but...
But isn't the, it's kind of like, at times, good officiating... a good defense you don't hear anything about, right?
True.
Because they just kind of, they go about their job, everything is taken care of, and it's just a clean, crisp performance on that end. And, all the accolades and honors go to those that put the puck in the net and everything, but just going to run through some of the stats you put together in our notes. Sixth in goals against average, sixth in goals for average, ninth on the power play, 17th on the PK, which isn't inspiring,
great, but
they share the lead with Chicago, five shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
So, it seems like when getting the opportunity, they're taking care of things on both ends of the ice. And like you said, Kiprusoff, solid 15 wins, 3 shutouts, 2.27 goals against, .925 save percentage.
Yeah.
I'm sure most teams would, be very happy with those numbers from their starting goaltender.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder, too, is this the Sutter mentality? I mean, Sutter got a lot of, criticism when he was in Jersey because he was kind of a low-key, boring guy, didn't have much exciting things to say. And it almost seems like the team fits that personality. We're not going to make a big deal. We're just going to go out, we're going to do our job, and we're going to do what we're expected to do. So I think that they're definitely worth, keeping an eye on, because for as much as we're talking about San Jose, Colorado, Chicago out in the West, maybe this is really the team to watch. Because they're going to maybe surprise some people when it really comes down to it.
One thing that never too high on your highs and never too low on your lows mentality gives you is a very good mindset for playing away from your comfort zones, right? Mm-hmm. Playing away from home.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at their away record, 10-1-3, that certainly seems to make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, here's the task that's in front of us. Let's handle it. They go out and they do it, and they play very solid hockey against any of the competition they're playing. And then it's done. They're over. They move on. They go to the next game.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something I know we want to keep an eye on, which is one of our favorite things to say here on the Odd Man Rush. And we do keep an eye, and we love to bring topics back, and the Calgary Flames and their success so far, 26 games into the season for them, is certainly noteworthy. As is Colorado's, which, you know, we talked about, you know, very early on in the season, where most people kind of had them, you know, not having a great year and being a rebuilding year. And you know, it's, the season's a long way from over, and a lot is, you know, to be determined, but so far so good in Colorado.
We'll give yourself a pat on the back for not, you know,
trashing
them.
I did not mention myself at all.
No, it's, you deserve it. It's, you know, the same with the Islanders. I think they're not having the success that Colorado's having, but you know, they haven't done too poorly.
They're not as in the same point range as Carolina, despite,
no.
You know, we've certainly acknowledged the fact that injuries have played a significant part in their season, but
and Toronto, yeah, Toronto's a mess too.
Exactly, and Montreal, we've mentioned, all of whom the Islanders have more points than.
Yeah, and I guess one, with comparing all of those teams, I think the, and I'm sure we'll get onto this later, but I think the key thing is that goaltending.
Yes.
You may not have the team in front, but you look at what's happened in Carolina,
right,
to lose Cam Ward, Michael Layton was hurt for a while, they bring in Manny Legacy. Toronto's an absolute disaster.
Sure.
Poor Joey McDonald's going to be stuck in a, you know, another rough goaltending situation because Toskla, and now I believe Gustafson's in the hospital with his heart issue again.
Right, which can't have them feeling really good right about now.
No, and on the flip side, the two teams that, you know, had some pretty serious goaltending issues last year, the Islanders more than anybody else.
Right.
You know, to have Rolison and Biron holding down the fort. And then in Colorado, Craig Anderson's just been outstanding. So I guess if you are a losing team, do everything you can to get a good goaltender at all costs.
Right.
Even if it's an average goaltender, just get a goaltender to salvage your season.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So what are there any other teams that, you know, we haven't hit already that are kind of sitting in maybe a reverse situation where, you know, maybe they aren't performing up to the standards that, you know, like we said, Calgary was potentially a team, you know, that you know, they could have done well, but more on the Colorado and New York's where they're performing a little bit better than expected. I mean, it's hard to say it for the Islanders because they're sitting last in their division, but we just kind of outlined all the teams that they're currently doing better than. So they're closer to an eight spot than they are, you know, moving anywhere within their division.
Yeah.
Although they're only 1 point of their New York brethren.
Yeah.
They're tied actually with their New York brethren.
The flip side of the, you know, everyone rising to the top, obviously your Rangers there. They're having some issues. You know, Detroit, it's hard to pick on Detroit, though. They talk about another team that's just had a mess of a year. But, you know, I think, I assume you would agree, but, you know, New York, I guess it's one of those where, you know, the start they had, the question was, okay, when was there going to be some, you know, coming back to earth?
Yeah, I mean, there's coming back to earth, and then there's, you know, falling, you know, and this was not a graceful drop down to terra firma. You know, this was a very hard crash, and it's been a difficult run. I mean, to start the season 7-1, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago about the difference this year versus last year was the style of play was something that was more indicative of a team playing better and the team playing towards its strengths.
Yeah.
They were very aggressive. They were very aggressive in the neutral zone and at the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And puck possession, which is a Tortorella thing, was very much what they were doing. And I believe both Wes and myself said, you know, that they now know what they have to do in order to win.
Yeah.
And they won't lose games because you know, they took nights off or it's just not the right players or the right system. They'll lose games because they're not playing the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've watched the games in this hard fall, they aren't doing those things. I mean, all those things that we talked about, that this is why they're doing well, mm-hmm. they're not doing. I mean, the power play has come down a little bit, but it's still been performing okay. It's certainly not at the, you know, garbage levels that has the last few years. But defensively, they've struggled. Whether that's a mark of the defenseman or the forwards coming back, I think it's been a little bit of both. I think there's been a lot of a lack of clarity as to who's supposed to be where. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of chase the guy with the puck play going on for the Rangers of late. I mean, they've lost some games on some significant scores. You know, I mean, letting in 6, 7, 8 goals in a handful of games, some of them back-to-back. I mean, these are significant issues, you mm-hmm. know, going on in New York. And, you know, so, and they're cap-strapped, so it's not like they can make any moves that would be high upgrades. It would have to be moves to maybe shake something up.
Yeah.
Where they're you know, eliminating, but, you know.
But they kind of did a little bit of that over the summer. And the thing about you mentioned the defense. I'm not sure, given that some of the talent they have, you know, between Delzato, Gilroy, I know they called up Sanguinetti lately.
Right.
Or recently.
Recently, yeah. Just went back down. But
yeah, but, yep. But I mean, and Stahl's still young, too. And I think we know that defensemen they take a little while to hit their prime. They're kind of like goaltenders. But I don't know that it would be worth shaking too much up, because these guys are going to have to learn. And if it's...
Yeah, no,
if it's that way, you know, right now, if it's, you know, imagine what are we going to be talking about in like maybe 3 or 4 years,
sure.
if they keep that defense intact? That's, you
right,
know.
The without question, I mean, you're right. And the Rangers by and far are willing to live with the mistakes of their rookie or young mm-hmm. defenseman. I think it's probably
satisfy the garden crowd.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, it's not always them that's making the mistake.
Yes,
and that's,
yes.
That's
yes.
Wherein lies the problem. Because if you've got, you know, Michael Roosevelt, who, you know, has struggled this year mightily, he struggled over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And he's not a guy that really can be easily moved. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, where you can't really get rid of the problem. You just kind of have to deal with it, you know, because of his salary and the cap world that they're living in. So it's not an enviable position to be in. So they're just going to try and grin and bear it. And you brought up the Sanguinetti recall. And, you know, I mean, that's just such an interesting move. And I was on a website talking with a Hockey's Future writer. Mm-hmm. And last night, and we were, you know, she brought up an excellent point about why bring up Sanguinetti. Mm-hmm. They need defensive help. Mm-hmm. Defense is third or fourth thing on his mind, for as even being a defenseman. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He's an offensive defenseman. I mean, obviously, he's not devoid of defensive skill. but when there could have been somebody that maybe would have helped stabilize things a little mm-hmm. bit while they're going through these growing pains. And she had spoken with Gordy Clark, and he had said that, you know, he deserves it because he's playing well and, mm-hmm. and this and that. And that's great, but it's not necessarily what the team needs. This was to fill in for Wade Redden, who had gone down with injury, who is expected, I believe, to be back Saturday as Sanguinetti was sent mm-hmm. back down. So, you know, sometimes it's you're looking at the decisions being made, and you know, from a management perspective, they're limited in lots of ways. So, there's not a whole lot going right about New York, mm-hmm. But the one thing that is going very well is Marian Gaborik. I mean, there's the whole, you know, as advertised concept that's being floated around. Yeah, I mean, he really, really is having an incredible season. But I want to throw this over to you, because I know you did some research and put some numbers together. And if you can put Gaborik in the likes of the elites in the NHL, does he belong there?
I think that for the first part of his career, he was, despite his outstanding numbers when he was healthy, I think he was a wasted talent in Minnesota. I think that you're seeing now him playing in New York with a more aggressive system. Just the numbers, you know, crunched here. He's averaging almost a point and a half per game and 0.84 goals per game in New York. And the just looking back at full seasons, the best he ever did in Minnesota was a little bit more than a point per game.
Right.
That was in the season that I pulled that from. He played 77 games that year. And in an injury shortened season, when he played just 17, he averaged 1.35 points per game.
Is that from this last year when he came back, or the one that he started the year and then missed the rest?
Not last year. It was the year prior to that. And the one year that stood out for me was in 2006-2007. He played 48 games, and I believe he missed half the first half of the season. It's hard, you know, his injuries are like my injuries. You start losing track after a while.
Exactly.
But he played 48 games per year, and I remember when he came back, like following his progress, he was averaging a goal per game, roughly.
Right.
I mean, it turned out that he didn't. Obviously, 30 and 48 is not a goal per game, but he was up there. And it really makes me wonder what the league has missed out on with this guy, because he's a phenomenal talent. And it's good that he's in a system now that says, here's the puck. You know, score, because that's what he loves to do.
Yeah.
And I definitely think, I mean, he's among the league leaders in goals. I believe he's among the league leaders in points. You know, and granted, Ovechkin's having some issues. Malkin's been hurt a little bit. Crosby's, I think, a more mature player in that he's kind of like Jordan. He's making the guys around him better.
Right.
And it's really, that's, I think, why Pittsburgh's doing well. But I digress. But yeah,
you could make that same case for Gabrick, and at least for his one consistent line mate,
mm-hmm.
Vinny Prospel, a guy who was bought out of his contract.
Yes,
you know, has come to life this year, playing with Gabrick,
mm-hmm.
and you could say that's a very easy thing to do. But if you watch them night in, night out, you can see that he's doing the work.
Yes.
You know, he's not just, you know, making a pass from the defensive end to Gabrick and then watching him skate, you know, all the way down. To quote Pele in the movie Victory, I do this and score, right?
Yeah.
Easy. So he's doing the work, and I think you know, part of the Rangers' struggles has been scoring outside of Gabrick and even Prospel. And there was a stretch of,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the number, I know it was over 200 minutes where they had like a drought of goals
from
everybody else. Yeah, that only Gabrick or Prospel had scored the goals for over 200 minutes for the team. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the guy has been, like we said, you know, as advertised and more,
yes.
I mean, from a skill level perspective, it, you know, when he's on the ice, and all of a sudden you perk up just a little bit, you get a little bit closer to the TV, you get a little bit closer to the arena, whatever it is, you get a little bit closer because you know that something incredible may happen.
And if he's playing against your team, you start breaking out in a cold
yes.
sweat. And
yes.
And the funny thing is, the Rangers were just in town last week and Gabrick scored the first goal. And, you know, you talk about a goal that just he made it just look so easy. He tipped a shot, you know, and I know that's, some people would say, well, that's a cheap goal or whatnot, but you know what? You still have to have the hand-eye coordination. You still have to be in the right place. You still have to be somewhat stealthy to get behind defensemen to do it.
Yeah.
He just made it look easy. And, you know, and for as simple as the goal was, you just kind of said, you had to have the respect for it and say, that was nice.
How many great goal scorers have always just happened to be in the right place at the right time?
That's what makes
them
great goal scorers.
And, you know, I mean, my brother and I, when Pavel Bure was not a Ranger and was playing the Rangers, always you could not stand when he would stand on like the – looking at the goal,
picking?
The right side of the post,
the
pass would come to him, and he would just, you know, swipe it, you know, 3-4 times, just get in there. I'm like, he's the smallest guy out there practically, you know?
Yep.
How is, you know, these large looming defensemen not notice, you know, the greatest scorer on the ice at the time,
yep.
you know,
yep.
and he just was always standing there, always ready to just boom. I mean, granted, he had all the skill in the world and could create the space he needed.
Yeah.
But right place, right time. And actually, we were laughing about it because Gavrik scored the other night. Same thing, standing on the right by the right post, puck came to him, whacks it in. There you go, goal. So, yeah, tremendous, tremendous start to the season. I think we were saying 21 and 25 games, right? 21 goals, 25 games.
It's something obscene. Yeah, and the points, like I think it's what is it, 37 and 25. It's off the.
He's doing really well.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's doing really well. So that's a definitely a lone bright spot for the Rangers. Well, I mean, you could throw I think Delzato in there as a rookie. The performance he's had has been probably better than expected. So, let's move on. And
speaking of goal scorers.
Speaking of goal scorers, we mentioned him earlier, but we're going to kind of talk about Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, maybe not in the realm that we're used to talking. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely used to talking about the physicality he brings and how that makes him such a great player and how that kind of was one of those things where you're like, well, you know, you're starting a team. Do you take Ovechkin? Do you take Crosby, right? And for the people that take Ovechkin, you know, one of the reasons why they'll say is the physicality that he brings to the game is immense.
Yes.
And that can, you know, That can wear teams down for many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the hit on Coletta and now Gleason, are we entering that repeat offender? You know, are they treating him as a repeat offender? You know, the suspension came out 2 games. Aaron, you astutely pointed out that this was basically a non-suspension suspension because he's hurt. So he's going to miss that anyway. It's an easy out for the NHL to say, hey, look, see, we're taking a superstar and you know, I'm pointing as if I'm an authority figure right now. You know, you can't do this.
Well, it's like you said, it's an easy call for them. It was, I think the rage was finally starting to show. At what point is this guy going to get, you know, treated like an average player? They had to act. I mean, it was 2 ejections in like 5 days, three games, I believe. You just can't do that. At what point do you say, you know, yeah, we're gonna finally do something to this guy,
right?
And you know, you could look back at his record and say that he is a repeat offender, regardless of whether he's been suspended or not.
There was at least one last year, right?
I think there was the Gonchar incident. There was something a couple of years ago with Daniel Briere getting checked into the boards. Yes, he plays a physical game. Do I think that he is a guy who's like going out and headhunting? No, I don't believe that's the case. I think he gets a little too into it. I think we've always used the analogy that he's like a really big kid who just, he loves playing the game. He's, I think, a little too, you know, sometimes where you have to take the sugar away from the kid and sit him in a corner for a while. I think that's like the point we've gotten to. And I think what this incident, at least the Gleason incident, should send a message to him, whether it's, you know, George McPhee sitting him down, whether it's Bruce Boudreau sitting him down saying, okay,
sure,
you've crossed the line. It's not that we don't want you to play physical, but...
And it wasn't a hit that was necessary.
Exactly,
it was very much, you know, kind of random,
and
haphazard.
And he got hurt on it, too. Yeah, and I think that's gonna, the key.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the biggest... It's going to be tough for him to be – is he going to start skating into a play and then stopping because he, A, doesn't want to do something stupid, and B, doesn't want to hurt himself, which would be doing something stupid.
Well, I hate to use this analogy because I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who hate the Florida Gators. But it was like, you know, when people always criticize, you know, the decision to keep running Tim Tebow – because at what point is he going to get hurt? You know, if you keep like diving headfirst into piles, you're going to have a problem.
Right.
With hockey, I think it's a lot different in that Ovechkin is not a guy who has to make these plays to go out of his way to start hitting people. I'm not saying that he needs to like stop playing physical altogether, but it's something where now we've seen that there could be potential harm to himself. And you know, do the Caps, are they better off with an Ovechkin in the lineup who maybe tones it down to, say, 75% versus an Ovechkin who goes all out and has a greater chance of getting hurt? I think they need to get him to tone it down a little bit. It's not that we don't want to see him be who he is, but I don't think
he's the type of player that needs that to be as effective as he is.
Mm-mm.
But you can certainly see when he turns that on and he starts throwing the body, you know, taking the body and throwing hits around, that he really gets into the game. So he needs to find another way to reach that level without putting himself or others in danger.
And
both parties are basically lucky that this didn't turn out to be more significant.
Yeah, and I think what this incident comes down to is he's no longer invincible. He's no longer invincible in terms of his like physical well-being because he can get hurt. And he's no longer invincible in the league's eyes because you know what? Now he's got a 2-game suspension on his record. The next time it happens, he is considered a repeat offender.
Right. So even though it's the like fourth or fifth time he's done
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, again, we it's finally time to bring out Sean Avery, right? it's such a legitimate question though. And you read about it so many times in reading newspaper articles or recaps of a game, you know, where it says, and then, you know, he got a Sean Avery penalty, which is basically the definition.
Calling the goaltender fat?
That's not a penalty. That's just good comedy. But it's a penalty that only he gets because he's him.
Yes.
Anybody else would not get that penalty. And so if it was him, you know, how hard would the book, you know, be thrown out? Granted, the number of repeats and offenses are different. But the overarching logic, I believe, still remains. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it changes his play. And you know what I think we should do on this? We should keep our eye on it.
We'll always be keeping our eye on Ovechkin.
Yes. That is why we are the Odd Man Rush. All right, so we've got a handful of 2, 3, 4 topics to go. I'm going to kind of speed through these a little bit.
So we
can get these people off to listening to their music and other such wonderful CBSSports.com podcasts. So kind of a bad incident came out of our local area, out of Florida. Keith Ballard taking a frustration swing. I'm going to assume that he meant to hit the post. Maybe he just doesn't like Vokoun that much. But
Vokoun was playing well on the road, so I don't think that was, and he was the one who let Kovalchuk get the breakaway.
So we'll just generally, you know, very, very easily assume that he was trying to hit the post, completely and totally never got to it, and winds up smacking his goaltender with his stick in the helmet and winds up cutting the back of his ear?
I'm not.
Or the side,
no,
neck
ear laceration.
Area. Yeah. Something. So, Aaron and I had an excellent conversation about this. Not only just is this something we want to talk about in the podcast, but is this something, and I'll just throw it out to you, and then we can kind of get into some of the things we talked about, Aaron, but is this something that maybe warrants punishment from the league?
Very, very, very small punishment. Now, I should say that I believe Keith Ballard did not intend to whack Thomas Vokoun.
Agreed.
There was no intent.
Agreed.
It was a complete accident. It was a matter of being frustrated. Let's face it, the team has had some pretty tough times lately. They're not winning.
Nobody feels worse than he does right now.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Vokoun. Physically.
David Booth, but that's another
right.
story.
Right, exactly.
So things have not gone well. He's a guy that's well-liked in the locker room.
Yes.
He's a good guy. I mean, I hate to use that, you know, cliche, but he's
yeah,
a
Yeah, but, you know, there are good guys.
Guy.
And I think it merits pointing them out, you know,
yes.
because there are also not good guys.
And he is one of them.
Yes.
He is, without question, he is a good guy. Good personality. Whatnot. As far as the punishment, my thinking is that it is in the rule book that you must be under control of your stick at all times.
Right.
And swinging it in frustration, if he had hit any thrasher, even if it was just on the leg,
right,
I would bet that he would be penalized, possibly ejected, possibly suspended. That's
Correct.
Against an opponent.
Sure.
against his own teammate, yeah, you know, how do you add insult to injury at that point, especially when the poor guy's taken off on a stretcher?
Yeah, I mean, you could show, I mean, they, you know, I hate to say it was heartbreaking because, again, Vokoun was the one who's really the victim here.
Yeah, yeah.
But the look on his face of disgust with of himself, you know, on himself was, it really was a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for him, you know, and I think the points that we were kind of discussing the next day was, you know, there is that possibility that when you take this action that you can hit somebody,
mm-hmm.
that you can break. What if he broke his stick on the post and that went into somebody, you know, or hit somebody?
Yeah.
Or God forbid goes in the stands. I mean, I know at that area you've got the nets,
glass,
but
the glass
there's enough.
Shatter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and this happens routinely enough.
Yeah.
Right. So if you just whether this was punishable or not is, you know, is kind of a moot point because nothing happened.
No.
But looking at it in the future, if you eliminate that element, then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
No goalie
yeah.
will ever accidentally get hit by a defenseman who's angry trying to hit the post, you know?
Yeah.
Players won't, you know, you won't have the player-to-player, you know, adversarial player situation. You won't have the break the glass. If you just, you can't do, you know, any kind of non-hockey movement, you know, with your stick, basically, you know, you have to, like the rule book says, you know, just maybe add some addendums to it
mm-hmm.
to make it a little bit clearer as to, you know, the things that you can and can't do, because things like this can happen.
It
obviously,
it can be
because
worse.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Exactly. That was going to be my next point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be way worse and it could potentially affect people that are, you know, are there to watch the game,
yeah,
you know, with something like this. So if you and I think it's a really simple rule to add or to you know, amend what it currently exists. And I think it's one that the guys, you know, the players would very easily accept. And, you know, you might see, like, you know, a guy like, you know, wrench up like he's going to do something. Then, OK, you know, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Now. So
and as far as like a punishment, I mean, do you give the guy like an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, in this situation,
they have the 2 minute
yeah.
for that too,
yeah,
which
yeah.
you know would have been fine.
I mean, even in terms of, you know, just like off the ice punishment, you know, as far as I was thinking, you know, people are probably ready to, you know, slash my throat to say, well, how dare you say something like he needs to be punished? And
right.
No, I don't think he needs to be suspended. I was thinking more along the lines of, give him such a small fine. I'm talking like $100, $500, just for the league to make a statement to say, listen, we don't condone this action.
Right.
Even if it's something where they're saying, like, donate like $500 to Vokoun's charity or something.
Yeah, there's ways to do it, right?
There's a good PR win
to be had from a very bad PR situation.
Exactly, and that's all. I still feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for Vokoun, too. But
yeah. There's a lot of bad feelings going on with this story. So what we're going to do is move on, because we say we're going to be like in a lightning round.
We are
as mobile and quick as last year's lightning squad. So
exactly.
Let's move on to Rick DiPietro, New York Islanders goaltender, returning to practice. Perhaps meaning one of their 7 starters that they purchased in the offseason will be moved. Is that a good move considering DiPietro's injury history, assuming he can actually make it back? And does he really have the ability and potential health to reclaim the mantle that was sort of his when he was given that, you know, 900-year contract by the Islanders, you know, a few years ago?
I think at this point, for totally different circumstances, the Oilers kept 3 goalies last year.
Right.
I think this year, the Islanders need to do it.
Yeah.
And not because I'm saying that, you know, DiPietro's bad. Let's face it, they're a team that we don't necessarily expect to have like a run for the playoffs or anything. They're still young. They're still showing signs of being young.
Yes.
The goaltending has really bailed them out. Can you imagine what would happen if, you know, DiPietro comes back, he's the starter, they keep Rollison, you know, or they're facing a situation, or they end up facing a situation like in Toronto or Carolina? I think, again, goaltending is very key. Goaltending, I think, is what's helping keep the Islanders afloat. don't mess with that. I know you can get something.
Shootouts in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, you can get something good for beer on, I'm sure. You maybe get a pick or something.
Right.
You dump some salary. Don't take that chance this year.
Don't take the bait, right?
Yeah, see what
sure.
let DiPietro work himself
That was
himself
not an Islander fisherman
oh,
pun
I totally
there.
Missed that.
It wasn't. It wasn't intended, I should say. It was one. It just wasn't an intended one. Although I have been listening to a lot of Downeaster Alexa by Billy Joel, which is all about Islanders and fishermen. So,
yeah.
Which, as a Ranger fan, is incredibly painful at times, but it is one of my favorite songs by him. So, sue me. What are you going to do?
So the Islanders should carry three.
All right.
It's not going to hurt them this year, especially since Biron, I believe, only signed a 1-year deal.
Right.
Keep
them.
Just
two more stories I want to get to. We have two young Russian players returning to Russia. To play in the KHL, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? What does this mean? Are there Olympic implications? Filatov and
Tikhanov, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, both of them were. Well, Tikhanov was sent down early in the season. I think the Coyotes said we don't want to probably ruin our young talent and put them through something that they're not quite ready for.
Right.
So a lot of their young guys, Bodker, Turris, Tikhanov were all in the AHL, and their situation the wheels have come off in San Antonio. That's their farm
sure.
team. They fired their coach. They're last in their division. They're 7-10-3. So as far as Tikhanov goes, I guess, you know, maybe they felt he was going to be more comfortable just back in Russia developing there.
Right.
Filatov, I think, was, I guess, I must curse people. Between my fantasy team and my picks, he was my rookie of the year.
So
yeah, well, last year I had Denny Savard as coach of the year. He lasted four games.
Didn't he have a great start?
He
four goals in four games in the KHL?
I believe
right?
so.
So yeah. maybe that's where he'll be rookie of the year.
But
you'll be right somewhere, Aaron. I guarantee it.
Maybe. But the thing with these two guys, I think, was that with the KHL-NHL situation, the teams felt we got to have these guys in the lineup. Otherwise, we could lose them like the Radulov situation. I think that there's a lot of concern about that.
Right.
But you know what? At this point, Filatov, I forget if he's already used a year of his contract. Tikhanov definitely did. So
right,
they've lost
right.
a year anyway. Maybe they're at the point where they just... those teams, the, you know, Columbus and the Coyotes felt, you know, we need to develop these kids. Let's get them what they need, where they're going to perform
right.
well, where they're going to get ice time. And actually, just sorry to jump around here, Syracuse, the club team for Columbus, they're having a not so great year either.
Sure,
so
sure.
From the development standpoint, it makes
development
sense.
Development areas.
If you can send them there, they can. But on the other side, I'm sure there were people in the NHL who were cringing that these guys
right.
that they want to stay in the North America have now been sent back to Russia. I don't know what kind of problem this will cause
right.
down the road, but that's a mess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's such a large story, and we've talked about it so many different times with so many different scenarios and so many different, like, the key issue, you know, has been different so many different times, but
yeah.
it's the whole KHL, NHL, Olympics, you
yeah.
know, and everything. There's so many things that are surrounded, so many storylines that the end result, whatever it may be, and however long it takes to get there,
yeah.
Could be that it's just, you know, it's very expansive and significant, whatever happens. So it's
hockey's cold war.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
I guess that's the best and worst way to put it.
Yeah.
All right. Last item. Canadians voted Montreal as Canada's team. 33% taking the win there. 28% said none, which is a large, I mean, I can understand
yeah.
some people making that claim, but that's a very high amount, especially compared to what the winning total was.
Yeah, yeah.
For a country that is, you know, so hockey enthused, but maybe that's it. Maybe they're hockey enthused and not as close to their teams, perhaps. Mm. 25% said Toronto, and looks like 2-5% for Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa, and Vancouver.
Yeah.
How much of this do you think is because of the troubles going on in Toronto or the sentiment of Montreal having their 100th season and all like all the nostalgia and glory and all the championships won. I mean, is that enough? Maybe it's just the fact that, you know what, Montreal's won more. And you know, what are they? They're only behind the Yankees, right, in terms of major pro sports championships.
I think you kind of summed it up nicely there between, you know, the Canadians, actually, because it is their, or they were coming off the 100th anniversary, and there was so much hype surrounding that. And I mean, because the Canadians are not doing that well this year that anyone would say, yes, we're that much in love with them.
Right. No,
so I think that's part of it. The Leafs are horrendous. They've kind of been bad for a while. My perception, honestly, of Canada was always that the Leafs were Canada's team. And I don't mean to get into like the whole political side of it, but I always viewed that because it was the English Canadian team versus the French Canadian team.
Yeah. No,
I mean, if you go to Quebec, you know, it's Canadians all the way, and that makes sense. But as far as, you know, the Leafs, it always seemed like, you know, you were going to find more Leafs fans. I guess they have paper bags over their heads now. Obviously, the other teams, there's no comparison. I mean,
to go
against two original six teams with history.
Sure.
And
I mean, Edmonton obviously has the, for historical purposes, the recent overall success, you know, with their run that they had and the Gretzky Messier era.
Yeah. But even like population wise,
but
in just general, I mean, Toronto's
right.
I think the biggest city and Montreal's pretty close.
Yeah. You would think that, you know, Quebec maybe, or, you know, the Montreal fans maybe, more per area, you know, for their area.
Yeah.
But probably Toronto's spreads out a little bit farther.
Yeah.
But obviously we're wrong.
Well, whatever. Whatever you guys want to do out there, that's fine.
So there's two questions we're gonna pose to our listeners, and you're going to put it on...
Yes, we have a new... I was going to say Facebook page. No, we have a new podcast page. It's going to be at cbssports.com/NHL/podcast. And we've got our archives up there, the latest episode. And we have a message board. Feel free to send your feedback, questions. We'll hopefully try to answer those week to week. If you have fantasy questions, throw those out. We'll get our fantasy guys on top of it. If you have something you want us to discuss. And obviously, we're going to throw out this week's question.
Which is?
The question is, obviously, we just discussed which team is Canada's team. And if you want to chime in on that, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, because we talked about this. This is another thing we talked about before the show. And we basically have a show before the show, which is probably, in a lot of cases, better than the actual show that we're recording.
We might have to record the previous show and cut and paste.
Take out some of the curse words and we're golden.
Yes.
But we talked about, we're very curious as to what is America's perception, or wherever you are, you know, listening to us, what is your perception of what Canada's team is in terms of hockey, in addition to...
What is America's team?
Right.
Because when we had this discussion, do we go on Detroit? Is Detroit America's team? But are they America's team because of their recent success? Is it Pittsburgh because of their recent success? Is it the Rangers because of the market they're in? You know, any of the original
Yeah, Boston,
six,
Chicago.
Boston, Chicago,
as
where
original
do they fit?
Six. Yeah, so.
I don't expect to see Florida in there. I don't expect to see Tampa Bay. But seriously, what do you guys think is, you know, America's team? I mean, the Cowboys are America's football team. The Yankees are America's baseball team. Who's
right.
America's hockey team? We really don't have a...
Try to refrain when posting the, they don't have a team because America doesn't care about hockey.
Yes.
There are cities that care.
Is it Minnesota?
Yeah, I was
Did
thinking about
Minnesota
because, A, the high school and college significance in that state. Had they stayed there, speaking of the North Stars, obviously the Wild are there now, but you'd be hard pressed to say that they're America's team. Had they stayed there and looking at the success that the Stars have had and you know, would that have been enough? You know, I mean, there's not as much tradition, I mean, not as much a championship lineage there, but would that have been enough to have made them, you know, America's team? It's maybe the an area. I mean, you could but then again, Michigan is a significant college and
area. I mean, but you could say Boston because Boston is college.
Exactly,
I mean,
exactly. There's lots. Yeah, so
you could argue New York too. I mean, the Rangers did have. You were saying before about when the Rangers won their cup in '94. It was right at the time where the NHL was surpassing the NBA in popularity.
Right. And, yeah. There was a lot. A lot to do with that, having a big market team win, having it be New York, having it be the end of the curse, having Messier be the guy.
And then Gretzky came in at the end of the 90s. So,
right. So, I mean, there's, you know, we're interested in your opinion. We understand that that perhaps hockey does not have the foothold in the United States that it does elsewhere in the world. But that doesn't mean that our fans are any less passionate, and we certainly think that our CBSSports.com listeners and hockey fans are an excellent group. So love to hear what you have to say. So, Aaron, once again, that address?
It's CBSSports.com/NHL/podcast. And I will have a
Pretty
link
easy.
Up on our arena homepage.
Awesome.
So you should be able to find it.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this time. Not too bad. Just 45 minutes, which for a comeback, I thought we would have been a lot longer. But want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Aaron Brown. This is Greg Smolka saying we'll see you next week.